Bibles, if you will, and turn to John 14. John 14. This is a very, very important passage that we're going to look at. It's one of the commands of Jesus. And remember, we are in that series called Red Letter Living, where we're looking at the specific commands of Christ. The one that we want to look at today, Jesus speaks on his way from the upper room, headed toward the Garden of Gethsemane. He would travel from that part of Jerusalem in the old city, cross in front of the temple, and then down the Valley of Kidron and up into the Garden of Gethsemane. And he would speak these words to them, and they are a command. And he says this in John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commands. It's a real simple verse, only seven words in the English. Why don't you say that out loud with me? If you love me, keep my commands. Say it one more time. If you love me, keep my commands. Now, what is all this about? What I want you to understand is that before he speaks these words, he is talking to his disciples and to us about what someone receives when they pray. And then on the heels of that, he is saying that if you love me, keep my commands. I think today that we need to unpack several things as we look at this important command. First of all, I want you to look at the condition to consider. Focus in on that first word, if. It is a subordinating conjunction that is the description that I would call a hinge. It's a hinge, and it's a big hinge, that is one that we allow to swing in our lives. It's a big word, even though it's only two letters, but it has bigger consequences. Many of us, we still live looking at the rearview mirror of things that we wish that we would have done, would have said, would have felt, would have expressed. If only I would have. And often today, we use these words, if you love me, trying to describe what we want someone to do. I came up with several of them that were listed that I thought were interesting. If you love me, you would be ready on time. If you love me, you would agree with me. If you love me, you would make more money. If you love me, you would spend less money. If you love me, you would work more. If you love me, you would work less. If you love me, you would be affectionate. If you love me, you would put your clothes away. If you love me, you would spend more time with your kids. If you love me, you would stop watching TV so much. If you love me, you would watch TV with me. What we end up doing is to use that phrase to tell someone that love is something that you do, not something that you feel. It really is. It's action. It's not just words. It's words and life in action. And Jesus is saying, if, big condition to consider, if you love me, keep my commands. There's a second thing that he is saying right on that hinge of the most important decision that you would ever make in your life, and that is simply the person to ponder. If you, this word is used in the second person plural in the Greek language. He is saying if all of you, or you all, if you were from the South, the plural of y'all is all y'all. And that's exactly what he is saying here. All of you. But that not only encompasses the entire group. In fact, it is now down to 11 disciples. Judas has gone to betray Christ and set up that treasonous behavior in the garden. But he is speaking to them individually and collectively. And so Jesus is saying, if you all, if you personally. You see, the biggest person that we have problems with is ourselves, not anybody else. Quite frankly, that little old chorus from yesteryear, not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer, is never more appropriate than here. So what Jesus is saying to us, don't focus on someone else, focus on yourself. If you love me, maybe our prayer ought to be like this. Help me, O Lord, not to excuse my actions, avoid any action, or delay any action by peering over someone else's fence and comparing the state of their garden to mine. Quite frankly, when we are focused on other people doing what is right, it's just a smoke screen so that we don't have to deal with our intent, our emotion, our actions, and our feelings. Jesus is saying, if you love me. And so therefore, it takes me to a third thing, and that is a passion to foster. It's an interesting word that he uses here for the word love. There are many different words in the Greek language that describe love, but it's not the word starge that is used here. Speaking of familial love, your family members, brother, sister, mother, father. He's not using that word. If you'll love me like family. He's not using the word phileo here. Many of the words that we have are rooted in the Greek language, like Philadelphia. It's a compound word of two Greek words, phileo and autophos, which means city, or description of the city, a brotherly love. And you and I need to understand that he's not using phileo. Jesus doesn't want us to love him like a friend. He doesn't want us to love him like our best friend or like the friend who's really close, intimate. He's not using that word, nor is he using, of course, the Greek word eros, where we get the word erotic. He's not looking for the physical touch, affirmation, affection, love. But the word he is using here is agape. This is the highest form of love. It is a God kind of love. Let me stop here. I want to crank up the tension. You know what Jesus is saying here? I want you to love me like God loves. What does that do for you when you hear that? That Jesus is saying, if you will love me like God loves, you will keep my commands. Are you comfortable with that? Or does that create tension? Can you do that? The whole concept of love is really there in John's gospel. One commentator wrote, God loves Jesus, Jesus loves God, God loves men, Jesus loves men, men love God through Jesus, and men love each other, heaven and earth, man and God, man and man are all bound together by this bond of love. But don't for a moment somehow or another miss the meaning of this. This is not to be confused with we are the world kind of love, and we're all brothers and sisters on this planet, and we just need to embrace in this universal love and love everyone. That's not what he's talking about here. He is saying, once again, if you will love me with God's kind of love, you will keep my commandments. How are you doing so far? Do you have that passionate love like God for Christ? Hopefully you're struggling a little bit with your inability there. We'll come and unpack that here in a moment. But there's another thing I want you to see, and that's the person to encounter. He says, if you love me. Now, the me that he's referring to is himself, to Jesus. Now, a lot of us, when we think about Christ, we think about the church, or we think about religion, or we think about ritual, or the religious system, or the doctrine. And sometimes Unfortunately, we substitute our commitment and knowledge and activity in learning about God, learning about Christ, being committed to the church, studying doctrine, and making sure that we have all the pieces that fit together with actually loving Christ. Our focus is on Jesus. He says, I want you to love me. Now, there's nothing wrong with loving the church or loving the things of the church or loving the Word, the Bible. But he's saying, I want you to love me. If you love me. You see, the problem is many of us are more consumed and concentrated on loving what God gives rather than loving him. We are in love with the ambiance of the things of God rather than loving God. Jesus is saying, I want you to love me, me, for me, not what I can do for you. If you love me. There's a picture in my mind of sitting up against a cafeteria gymnasium building when I was a junior, soon to be a senior in college. Man, I was really wrestling with what my life ought to be like, the direction of my life. I had some inclination, but I was so conflicted. And every time I would ask God, God, would you show me, would you give me a word, a promise about whether you want me to be a teacher or a truck driver. Let me know if you want me to do this or let me do that. I really want to know the path of my life. It didn't make any difference how intently I prayed or how intense my words were. There was always a blank. Until that afternoon, when I just said, Lord, I give up. I'm through trying to hear from you about what you want for my life to be, because I've been asking you and there's a blank. I mean, there's just silence. So Jesus, I'm telling you, I'm done. I'm done asking you what you want me to be. I just want to love you. I just want to know you. I want to have intimacy with you. God broke me in that moment. And wanting to hear what he wanted me to do was still in the back of my mind, but it wasn't in the front of my heart any longer. I just wanted to know him, and that's when he began to speak. When I made the shift in my mind from getting something from God and focusing on really loving him intimately, personally, that's when I began to hear clearly from him. Oh, I think many of us, we get confused somehow or another. And we short circuit where God wants us to go. We get passionate about doing something for God rather than passionate about knowing him. You go, well, I already know him. Do you? Paul would write in Philippians 3:10, that I may know Christ and the power of his resurrection. And then he goes on to say, the fellowship of his sufferings. Wait a minute. Paul had been a Christian for years. He met Jesus on the road to Damascus when he had this unbelievable conversion experience that blinded him. And then he writes later, years later, I want to know Christ. You see, there's a big difference between meeting Jesus and knowing him. It takes a long time. It's going to take all time and eternity. And even when you leave this planet, you have no idea what you and I will experience to really know the infinite Lord Jesus. It is an ongoing journey, and that's what he's saying. If you love me. And so today, I want you to understand that this is critical. We don't need any more programs. We don't need any more events. We don't need any more religion, quite frankly. We need a fresh encounter with Christ, the Son of the living God. That's who we need. We need Jesus. Now, doctrine and all these other things come as a result of knowing him. But unless your focus is upon knowing Christ, you will get so disconnected with the living Lord by doing things for the living Lord that you will lose your equilibrium and you will lose the ability to sustain in ministry regardless of what may come in your life. And that's important. That's what Jesus is saying. You need to encounter me. There's another thing I want you to see, and that is the path to travel. He says, if you love me, keep. That word in the Greek language is in the future active indicative. And it is describing ongoing action, not only for the now, but also for the future. You keep on keeping on my commandments. And that has a great depth. But that causes me to ask the question, what are you doing to keep on keeping on this intimacy with Christ? There are a lot of different things I'm sure you can do, but let me give you a couple of them. Number one, you can develop a deeper devotional life, not just every once in a while, but really making sure you have time alone with God, whether you do it in the wee early morning hours or a time in the midday or at noon or later in the afternoon or in the evening. There needs to be time where you focus all of your attention on Christ and allow his word to speak to you. And even when there are dry moments in your life, your ears are still open for insight. Many of us, we try to consume so much of the Bible that often we miss the whole Bible. Make sense? Sometimes you don't need the entire chapter. You just need part of a verse that he is trying to hammer in to your heart and your life to change how you think and what you would do and how you would respond. But that's going to call for an intentional, deeper devotional life. That's going to help you keep on keeping on. Number two, there needs to be a meaningful prayer life where we move from bless me and mine to being sensitive to the tug of the Holy Spirit as to how to pray and who to pray for at times when you don't even know that you're supposed to be praying. But because you are listening to the Spirit of God, he is reminding you of who you need to be interceding for. And it will be far beyond your small circle. He'll take you global if you'll let him and if you'll spend time with him. I think what will help you keep on keeping on is strategic service. I really believe that service comes as a result of intimacy with him. You want to do because of your experience with Christ. And quite honestly, if there is no want to engage, there is probably little intimacy and depth going on. You can attend a lot of Bible studies. Our church is filled full of Bible studies. I've never been part of a church whose building is used as intensely as our building is used. We have used this thing up and then some. But let me tell you something. Just attending meetings doesn't mean that you are serving. God wants you to have the input, but he also wants you to have the output. There's a reason they call it the Dead Sea. It's dead. The Sea of Tiberias or Sea of Galilee flows filled full of the tricklings of water from the Jordan River, from Mount Hermon, and it goes down all the way through the valley and finally ends up in the Dead Sea. The reason why it's dead is there's no outlet. And many of us as believers, we're like the Dead Sea. We can float a lot of things, but there's not much drinkable things coming out of our lives. God wants us to be strategic in serving and acting out on what he has inputted in our life. But there also needs to be an uncompromised commitment to the things of God rather than just secular endeavors. What I'm talking about is truly being committed to Christ. Your faith is very important, but let me remind you of what 2 Peter 1:5 says. Add to your faith virtue or goodness, and then to that goodness or virtue, knowledge, and so on. Do you know that there are some things that you can do to add to your faith? You can't produce the faith. That comes as a gift from God. But there are some things that you can take charge of in your life intensely to deepen your walk with Christ that will help you keep on keeping on. If you will take seriously what it means to walk with Christ and look at your life and begin to analyze what's going on and begin to inspect the fruit that is hanging on the branches of your tree. That needs to happen in our lives, or else we are not going to be able to keep on keeping on. If your only focus is activity, you're going to burn out. You are going to burn out. God doesn't want you to. He wants you to stay put, but you're going to have to be on guard constantly. Over the last couple of weeks, I've been fishing from a kayak. And it's a lot of fun, except when there's a lot of wind. And I've noticed that when it's real calm, it's real easy to fly fish from a kayak. You can just lay your paddle in your lap and just cast and catch some big fish, maybe. But when the wind begins to blow, you'll spend probably more time repositioning yourself with your paddle in order to be in the right place to be able to cast and make that presentation of a fly so that you can catch fish. And I'm here to tell you that as a believer, you're sitting on a kayak and the wind is blowing across your life and you're going to have to grab hold of the paddle and do some things specifically to help yourself keep on keeping on. God's already given you the kayak. You're safe and secure on His kayak, but He wants you to add some things initially and strategically to your faith so that you're able to keep on keeping on, because it's a willful choice on your part to take seriously what it means to follow Christ. There's a sixth thing I want to share with you, and that is the focus to maintain. He says this very clearly. If you love me, keep my commands. It's a Greek word, entolos. It's plural. And he is describing more than one command. You know that we have been looking at the commands of Jesus for some time. It's been almost a year since we started this. We're on the home stretch. And maybe you have forgotten some of these commands. I just want to read to you these commands. He says, repent, follow me, rejoice, let your light shine, honor God's law, be reconciled, do not lust, keep your word, go the second mile, love your enemies, be perfect, practice secret disciplines, lay up treasures, seek God's kingdom, judge not, do not cast your pearls to swine, ask, seek, knock, do unto others, choose the narrow way, beware of false prophets. Pray for laborers, be wise as serpents, fear not, hear God's voice, take my yoke, honor your parents, but wait, there's more. Beware of leaven, deny yourself, despise not the little ones, go to offenders, beware of covetousness, forgive offenders, honor marriage, be a servant, be a house of prayer, ask in faith, bring in the poor, render to Caesar, love the Lord, love your neighbor, await my return, take, eat, and drink, the communion command, be born again, keep my commandments, which is a commandment in itself, watch and pray, feed my sheep, baptize my disciples, receive God's power, make disciples. That's what he calls us to do. These are his commands. And by the way, let me say once again, I am still so perplexed. I have never read a book other than the Bible, never heard a sermon series, never heard any application or implication specifically of the commands of Jesus. And that's what he told us. That is the syllabus to teach people who follow Christ, his commands. Boy, we have a tendency to fill ourselves full of all kinds of other stuff than his commands, don't we? Thinking that maybe we know best, when we ought to come back to the basics and just do what he says to do. Maybe what I'll do is, when I complete this series, start all over again and do it over and over and over until we get it right. But the problem is, it's his commands. How are you doing keeping those commands? You struggling with any of them? How about all of them? Anybody struggling with all of them? Is it only me? Some of you would agree. You see, his commands are there with purpose. And if he says, if you love me, keep my commands, I got one last thing to ask and consider. And that's the question to answer. Why is it so hard to keep his commands? You struggle with his commands? Say yes or no. Let me know you're here. Just wanted to make sure we had honest people here today. I struggle too. Why is it so hard? Let me ask you a question. It's hard, but has Jesus ever asked us to do anything that we couldn't do? Would you think he would give you a command that you couldn't accomplish? Of course not. He's not setting you up for failure. He's giving us a directive. So why are we having such a difficult time actually doing what he says to do? No example to follow? Maybe. No plan to begin? Possibly. No desire to really take seriously his commands? Maybe. No honesty about one's sin nature at work? Yeah. Or better yet, let's look at this statement one more time. If you love me, keep my commands. Uh-oh. Love. Here we are again. Maybe the question that you and I need to be asking ourselves is, do I really and truly love Jesus? Or could it be that we are more like Simon Peter than we would like to admit to ourselves? A lot of talk, little action. Great intention, not a lot of follow through. If there is no loving, there will be no keeping. I want you to look at verse 16. I didn't read it. I'm going to read it now. Because this verse holds within it a key thought here. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. What he is saying here in verse 16 is simply this. I will ask the Father for Alon Parakleton, another of the same kind, advocate, counselor, comforter. He's referring to the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm going to ask the Father to send you someone, a different one, but just like me, who will come alongside you and be your counselor and your comforter and your advocate. Herein lies the pulling together of the whole command. You and I do not have the ability within our own flesh to keep his commandments, nor sustain that kind of God kind of love ourselves. You don't have the ability in your flesh or in your goodwill or your positive thinking to sustain for a lifetime loving Jesus enough that you're serious about keeping his commands. And that's why he has sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of you and come alongside of you to empower and equip you to do what you cannot do on your own. So what it takes us to is honesty, where we should be crying out in prayer, Jesus, I can't do this. Help me. Help me. Help me. Because I really do love you, but I'm having a difficult time doing the keeping part. And he has the power by his presence to give you the energy, the emotion, the intensity to sustain the longevity of being his follower forever and ever and ever and ever. Isn't that cool? That he is calling us to do what only he can do from inside of us. No wonder we sang that song, "I Want to Love You from the Inside Out." Jesus said, "If you love me, you would keep my commandments." There's an old chorus that we used to sing when I first became a Christian. Somehow or another, it's dropped off of the top 40. But if you remember this song, why don't you sing it with me? Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. That should be our prayer. Father, I thank you that we're together here in this community of faith, and we can be honest with you and with each other, that our real heart's desire is to love you like you want us to love you. But we struggle because often we just try to do it ourselves. So Jesus, help us come to the place that we give up and we lean and press in to your strength and your power and your presence. Because we really do love you. And we really do want to honor you by spending our lives keeping your commands. Help us take the next step. In that spirit of prayer, maybe you've never given your life to Christ. And maybe your prayer just needs to be, Jesus, thank you for loving me first and dying for me on the cross and shedding your perfect, precious blood. And I don't know how it works, but I know your word says that you will cleanse me of all my sin. And so, Lord, I am willing to turn from my sin fully and cast myself completely on you for your forgiveness and for you to change me to be your follower. Please do that right now. In Jesus' name, amen.